chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll read a few verses here, jumping around just a little bit. In the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was God. Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Continuing on, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness did not comprehend it. "There was a man sent of God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." And finally, down in verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The thing I like about John here is he just, right off the bat, just gets down to the facts of the matter. No beating around the bush. He says, God was at the very beginning. The Word was at the beginning. The Word was God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory that's full of grace and truth. And that he was and is the life. Now, why do we as human beings think that we are the life? Or that we have any light to shed on this? He is the light. If there is anything eternal, it's Christ, isn't it? And he is the eternal light. He is the only light that is eternal. He cuts it right there. He goes to the truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, yes, you can look at this book as a book and just read the words. Or when you go to it, you can go to it as living Word and let it be life and light. So, provision to know him is made by him. He has made provision in an abundance for us to truly know him if we truly want to. And he's done that by, number one, of course, his Word, which is him. Number two, by and through the Holy Spirit, which is him. And number three, which might surprise you, by his body. By and through his body. Which is him. Amen? However, when his body allows him to be. See, just being a member of the body of Christ doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to bring forth Christ. Amen? That you're going to show forth Christ doesn't mean that by any means. We'll see, and we know that, but we'll see it also. But however, the latter, the body, if not allowing you to see Christ, doesn't justify us for not growing in the Lord. Doesn't get us off the hook for growing and coming to know him in a real way. So, because we still have an abundance of his Word and we have his Holy Spirit. Amen? So, So the excuse, some people might say, well, I'm not a part of the body of Christ. There's no body. Doesn't justify us not learning Christ because of the other two. In fact, sometimes the bigger the membership, the harder it is to come to know Christ because nobody knows anybody. Nobody's rubbing elbows and getting on each other's nerves. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we'll look at verse 28. And Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself. But he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." If we are honest with ourselves here, Jesus was very clear here that if we know him, we will know the Father. We will know our Heavenly Father. And we can say, yes, we know that Jesus is from the Father, but we need to know him as such. We need to know him as such because being one and the same, what Jesus emanates is the Father. Always, always. This is the way he is. Jesus knew his Father, and maybe we might make excuse and say, well, he was one with him. He came from the Father. Well, he knew his Father here on this earth too in a very real way as he was going through the daily chores and activities and frustrations of life. He knew his Father and he knew the essence of his Father, and he only did what his Father told him to do. So, and remember, he didn't act while on earth as God. One more over in John chapter 14, verse 7. Kind of puts this more boldly. Verse 7. Well, we'll read 6 because I love verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." It's very important that we include those words, "and have seen him." Have seen him because of seeing Jesus. Amen? But being the way, the truth, and the life, why is it that we think there's some other way at times? Why is it at times, I know, we think, well, there is possibly some other truth. We may not say that in and of ourselves, but our mannerisms or our actions or whatever may think that there is some other way. There is some other truth. But he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's no other way to the Father. And so if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. Let's go back a ways to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:16 to reiterate, if you haven't got a chance to listen to Thursday night Philippians class or any of those series, it's a wonderful series, but it's an eye-opener in that We can say it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're shortcutting that. And we have for years, and I've been guilty of that. He is the hope of glory, but it's Christ crucified. Christ crucified in me is the hope of glory. Because not everything we do can we account it to be that Christ. Who's it lifting up? Who's it exalting? Who's getting the glory? Did we really hear from the Lord in this matter? We can be so wrong in saying it's the Lord when in fact it's not. If it's not Christ in us crucified, lifting only him up and not us, then we need to go back to the Word of God and to hear from him. So we continue on. Let me get to that passage in 1 John chapter 3. We'll start at verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. We are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Those passages are very strong. They show first that we are at first just children. We are just children. When we first get saved, we are but children. And it's like, it is selfish, isn't it? It really is. Oh, Christ died for my sins. Praise the Lord, I'm forgiven, so now I don't have to go to hell for eternity. And if we remain, and that's all it is, it's a very selfish Christian life. It's a fleshly Christian life. It's a carnal Christian life. And he says, we are children of God. Yes, we are. And that's important. You got to start out somewhere, don't you? You got to start out as a baby Christian, and it's not yet revealed. And you look at my granddaughter. You look at any children. It's all about them. Oh yeah, amen. It's all about them. And take care of my needs and look after me. And I want this and I. And it's all about I. And that's childish. But that's just the way it is, and that's the way it is in the early stages of the Christian life. And you get satisfied for a while with this, and then you get tired of it, and then there's something else. And you want this, and you want that. And if you don't get your way, you have a big tantrum. And you blame God at times. And the reason for that is because thinking as a child, and a child has to go through that period of time of growth. And there is a period of time of growth for the Christian. For the children of God, there is a period of time until there is a revealing. Until there is a proper time of revealing. It says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. That's a whole different area of seeing. We shall see him as he is. When our eyes see his eyes, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. How long does that take? Well, nobody knows. Only God knows. Only our Father knows, but he says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. There is a purity that he says here that of this hope of, man, I want to see him face to face in this way. I want to be changed into that same image. This is my hope, that I will see him as he is, and there is purity in that. See, that leaves us out totally. That's not bringing us into the area of, well, I want to I want to see his face so that and be changed into that image so all my problems will go away. Now, when we are changed into that same image, that's probably going to be the start of our problems, because Christ went to the cross, and we see from the Philippians the essence of a selfless life, and that is Him, that is His very nature, that is the nature of God, is a selfless, choosing a selfless life. Choosing a selfless, crucified life. He chose to go to the cross. And so here we say, I want to be like Him. And yet, if we put any of us in this matter, yeah, we want to be like Him on our ground, by our rules. Well, see, that nullifies it totally then. Because the flesh can't get involved in the spirit. They can't come together. But this is our hope. We shall, if we have this hope that we shall be like Him and see Him as He is, then there's a purity in that. And just as He is pure. So we... So if we get on the same page, then when we say I want to know Him, I need to know more Jesus. I want Him more. What we're effectively saying by the Spirit, and what we're effectively saying to our Father, is that I want to make sure that I'm out of the way totally, and it's just Christ coming forth entirely in the essence and the presence that He is. Amen? Does that make sense? Is that what we're saying? And the problem that we have here is that God is faithful to honor that type of prayer, isn't He? He's faithful because He wants more of His Son than we do. And I know with me, I lose perspective because I'm so tied up with daily tasks and doing stuff in insurance and the daily work and the clock ticking by and looking and seeing all the stuff going on in the world, and it seems like 24 hours just is a long time to get involved in the world. And so all of a sudden we're thinking, or I find myself thinking, well, I get out of the spiritual, out of the heavenly, and I get it down to the worldly, and get caught up with it, thinking that my life needs to impact somebody. Okay? And we all do that, don't we? I mean, you see it everywhere. People are trying to make a name for themselves. People are trying to leave a legacy. And if we truly believe and trust the Lord, there's only one purpose for us even being here, and that's to bring forth Christ. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to... If the only thing that it has to do with me is there's a body here, and this body was put here to contain Christ and to bring Him forth. I mean, that's pretty simple. But 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, come on. Get real. It seems like we can run this thing into the ground. At one time, dear brother, and I probably told some of you this before, but on one of our outreaches, we saw this brother quite often. And he said something, and I used the term that we generally use around here. That's, well, it's just the Lord. You know, how if I did something that's good, it was the Lord. Well, he was talking about humbleness. I think he said, "You're so humble." Well, I said, "It's the Lord. It has to be. And you don't understand. He didn't understand. That is not me. It's not me. If there's any humbleness or humility at all, that it brings any kind of eternal life, it's the Lord. And it's got to be. And see, that's where, I mean, Christians can look at you and say, come on, let up a little. Just let up a little. You're being too fanatic. Well, how do you be too fanatic and letting Christ live in and out of you? I mean, isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way? It's Jesus. So, from their perspective, from the world, from carnal Christianity, it may appear fanatical. But according to our Father, it's the way. It's just the way, and Jesus is the way. Amen? So, back to 1 John. So we're children of God, and it has not been revealed. Well, one of these days it's going to be revealed. And that day, when that happens, it can happen through time. It can happen little by little. But all of a sudden, it's like revelation. And that's the way it is. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. One of these days, we grow up. There are some here and watching who have grown up to a degree. Even in adulthood, there's more growing, isn't there? There's more growing in adulthood. When you're a young mother, it's tough. When you're a young mother and you've got that first child and you're going through stuff. And I just know that's all part of God's plan. He put the kids, the right kids in our lives to show us how much of Jesus we need. And he does that. And so then you have another one and things are different. They're not the same kid. I can't do the same things with this kid as I did the other. I thought I had this thing down. But it's just a process of God knows everything about us. He knows the hairs on our head. And he knows what it takes for us who really want this, have this purity of wanting this hope of seeing him. And so he places in our lives those things, props, if you will, that will bring an increase of his son. And it's not ever said that it's easy. He never said it would be easy. He said it would be the cross. It would be the cross. And that doesn't mean that you tell your kid that he's the reason I'm going to the cross, you know. but as you're growing as an adult, you become even more mature, hopefully. I mean, we pray for that for Patty. So, Mike's already arrived. So, so now, even in a gathering, even in a as we're searching for a place to fit in as children of God, a lot of it is based upon, just like a child, my needs. I want my needs met. I want to find the perfect place that takes care of me. And, you know, that we can go a long ways with that one, but I won't. Christianity can be very selfish. Can be very carnal, and it's not meant to be. Our Father never meant it to be that way, obviously. There's a growth process. Children are to grow up. Children are to mature. As parents and grandparents were to teach the children how to make it in this world, but with Christ as the center. Okay? Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some are prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I just love that. And the, you know, if the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers ever get to a place of losing their purpose, then get them out and just, because it's for the purpose of the equipping of the saints until we all come. We all come. Says, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, here we're talking Son of God. We're talking about the Son of God. And a knowledge. We say we want to know the Lord. Well, this is the purpose here. This is what it's doing. We have some given by God for the equipping of the saints to come into this knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature, a grown up, one body. Okay? So we got children, and we got some young adults, and we got some more mature adults. And we got some older adults who are acting like children. And, you know, it just goes the full gamut in a many-membered body. But the purpose is equipping all to come to this unity of faith, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature. Obviously, there's no way the few that are here and out there can become this full stature, because we're talking about the worldwide, the body of Christ as a whole. But we got to be real right where we're at. Amen? We got to do what God has called us to be about right here and right there. So he gives for a purpose. And, you know, there are people that get jealous and get envious and get upset because so-and-so is always getting to preach and speak their mind and stuff, and not here, but I've been places like that. You know, why does so-and-so get to be up front all the time and preach? Well, God called them. We better listen to God. So I won't get off in that, but we see the purpose, and it's the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Therefore, verse 14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. And here we come back to this child. Well, once we start growing up in the Lord and seeing the Lord in a real way and wanting him to the degree that it's, I want him so bad, I want this essence formed in me, I just want him, and regardless of what it takes, even if I'm taken down, as we sang about this morning, I go down into the depths, it doesn't matter about me, I don't want to be tossed to and fro, carried about like a little child, and so that's why we should be able to speak the truth in love. Eventually may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. this growth process through the local gathering is for the greater purpose of the building up of the body of Christ. We're not any longer a bunch of individuals. Now, a child is an individual. They have no concept of the family, of the purpose of the family. They don't. It's all about me. And feed me when I want it. Let me play forever. Even you say I'm tired and wham, wham, I'm not tired. You know, it's all about that. There's no understanding of the purpose of the family. And so even in the Jews at a certain age, when the son becomes a true son, there's an understanding there. There's brought in as a son. They're no longer to be the child. And there's a thing that takes place there. Well, that's the purpose, is that's to grow, that Christ may be formed, that we're no longer going through the same old thing and being tossed. Well, I thought we dealt with that a year ago. Well, it's back, you know, it's just, that's just me. That's what I have to be about. Well, no, Christ died for that, and he overcame that. And it's just a process of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus in a real way. So it's not a bunch of individuals any longer. Now turn over to Hebrews 10. We're still talking about knowing the Lord, or why know the Lord, selfishly or unselfishly, in a real way, or just to say that we want to know him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's just a wonderful passage. And we've read this several times lately, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, saying, come on, let's go. So you're moving on in the Lord, and there is growth, there's more of Christ. We're seeing Jesus in you. And it's the days approaching. One of these days, your hope is that, man, you're going to be known by you in a deeper way, that it's Christ in you, crucified. And though your world be falling apart, though everything is going wrong, Christ is being formed in you. And it is Christ coming forth. And that is a pure hope. That's what he's talking about, the pure hope. Is because you're no longer saying, me, 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 oh pity me, oh poor me. You're saying, no, I'm going to press on, because this is all part of the all things. All things working together for the good to them that love Christ. So we gather as often as we can, not just to be buddy buddies and to pat each other on the back and say, come on, you'll make it. We encourage, but we don't pet flesh. When someone admits they failed, we don't crucify them, we encourage them and say, well, you're forgiven. There's grace and there's grace and mercy from the Lord. But let's come on. Let's keep going. Let's keep on pressing on. Speaking of that, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is where Paul lays it all out there of how If anybody should be honored, he should be honored. But in verse 10, he says, that I may know him. Here's this terminology here. Know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, that's wonderful if we stop there, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great to know him and the power of his resurrection? However, he went on and said, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Being conformed to his death. Your family, your friends, outside of here hopefully, will say, you don't need to go through all this. You don't need to, I mean, let up some. But no, did Paul let up? He never let up. And he just goes over this continuously about being involved, being about the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to Christ's death. It's not a, from a worldly perspective, it's not a pretty thing, is it? It's not. From a worldly perspective, from a carnal perspective, run. Run. But from God the Father, that's the only, he's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to count the cost. Count the cost, and many have counted the cost. This process or race that Paul is speaking about, and this was another wording that I had, is 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's continuous. There's no let up. There's no let up on this thing. There's no breaks. There is grace and mercy from God if we take a break. It's not condemnation. Praise the Lord for that. You look at the life of Christ when he walked this earth, and you look at the life of Paul too. And when did they take a break from the pain and the agony, the selfless giving, the selfless life? When did they take a break and say, okay, I've done my deal today. I'm going to take some time off of this thing. I'm going to take some time off away from the Lord and him conforming me into his image. There's no break. It's 24/7. Change our minds or focus our minds away and turn it to the world or to the flesh, there's this, we get back to this time element that's the drudgery of it. How long? How long must I go through this? How long will this continue? Is there no peace from God? Well, the only time we get out of the peace of God is when we get our eyes off of Jesus. Okay, because Christ could, when he was in the garden, he cried out to his Father. Sure, the flesh is weak, but he is more than able to make up for what we go through. It's all for his glory. Because again, we come back to this grace and mercy. You know, we're going to mess up. Well, everybody but certain people. Most of us are going to mess up. But the grace and the mercy comes in and says there's no condemnation. Pick up and continue on in me. And so there's forgiveness. And we meet for the purpose of edification, admonishing, and learning Christ in a real way. And so this being one with him never changes. It never changes. And the only reason we're flaky is because of lack of knowing him. You know? I just, You know, we let up, we get off a little, or a lot, we think. And it's because we really need to be mindful like Paul, where he pressed on like a race. You don't let up, you don't let up. You can do that in the midst, be at peace, can't you? It's not a work ethic or something that you got to work at. But it comes back to the essence of it. I am about my Father's business. Christ has always been about his Father's business and continues, even in us. Let's see here. The result of our daily active moment-by-moment life has an effect on the body of Christ both locally and worldwide. We don't understand that, but we think, well, we're just one little individual, and what I do that nobody sees doesn't matter that much to the body of Christ. And it does. It really does. If we slack off and we're not letting Christ be formed in us and growing in the Lord, then what happens is we remain as a child, you know, in some way. We're still a child in this area. And so then, though the local body will not say anything probably, won't have a problem with it, you're causing the local to be involved with the same thing over and over and over. It's like going around that same mountain. The local believers who won't say anything because it's Christ in them will just continue to encourage and admonish and want you. But it takes away from what if you grew up and saw Christ and became mature and joined in to affect, to utilize your skills to affect those others worldwide, okay? So, I mean, it's not a condemning thing. It's just kind of like a motivation thing. Paul was motivated to know the Lord in more ways and encourage. He was so much for the body of Christ to know the Lord in a real way, to grow up in Christ, that it was no longer about them, their individual lives, but it was to see more of Jesus worldwide, to allow the body of Christ to become what our Father desires the body of Christ to be, is to become the bride of Christ, totally for the groom, totally poured out. The selfless life. Well, let me read this first. The result of our daily. Okay, I read that. We want to make an impact for Christ and need to realize daily living for Christ makes an impact, whether seen by us or others. Daily living for Christ makes an impact, whether seen by us or others. We don't have to see it. We don't have to draw attention to ourselves. We're living for Christ, and our Father knows. That should be our motivation. Jesus himself sees, but our Father sees. Our Father knows. And when we get to that place, though, we're not even going to care, are we? You know, because it's not us. We're not children anymore. We don't have to be noticed. It's just Jesus. I got one more statement here. It's 24/7, moment by moment, a selfless life, this selfless, crucified choosing of Christ does not grow weary. It does not grow weary. When we get weary, we're putting our eyes back on ourselves. He doesn't get weary. It's 24/7 moment by moment. It's not a concept or theory. Now, we know that. It's not a concept. It's not a theory. It's life. It's his life. It's the living Christ. And then just a little statement. If it were not Christ crucified in us, we wouldn't put up with each other, would we? We wouldn't put up with each other. That's just a reality that needs to set in, because we have really not anything in common but Christ, okay? And we want to know Jesus in this real way, and so it's a chance when we gather to grow, to let him grow and come forth, and in the local church. In the local body. Then turn over real quick. I have a passage here that I just love in the Psalms, chapter 46. If there was anybody that had stability, well, first off, I wrote down Psalm 23 and Psalm 27. That was David. If anybody had stability in the Lord, it was David. You look at all that he went through. But then this particular psalm, I wanted to read a little bit of it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Just imagine that. That's getting pretty bad. That is saying that everything around us is shaken. Our whole concept of life is being shaken. But God is a refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then jump down to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Isn't that good? That is someone who has found stability in the Lord. That is someone who has gone from being a child to an adult in their knowing God, and where though everything is other than what this our little thinking thinks it should be, God is there in the midst. It is part of the all things, and that is stability. To be still and know that he is God in the midst of all that. David understood it. I think I gave the two Psalms, 23, of course, and Psalm 27. But so just with the beginning, we know what. That just knowing that Christ died for us, we know that that's a child's view. I mean, we get our children to believe that, understand that. But we want them to get beyond that. And we must get beyond that. We must make sure that we are beyond just knowing. When we say we want to know the Lord, are we talking about, in a knowledge way, knowing more about the Lord Do I want to know more about the Lord, or do I want to know more about the Bible, the stories? We need to make sure our understanding is when we say, I know for this place, when we say we want to know the Lord, we want to know the essence of Him. We want Him conformed in us in such a way that it's that essence of a selfless, choosing a selfless crucified life, as has been talked about and brought forth lately. Not to take anything for granted any longer, that it's Christ in you is the hope of glory, but it's Christ crucified. And that is so important, because the depths of despair and confusion and depression can come upon us, and the only answer is Christ. Christ being formed in us. That is the only answer, so that we can too can say or answer the call, be still and know that I am God, even in this matter. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you that that we can know you. We can know your very essence and nature because of Christ. And that when we see Jesus, we see you. But we don't just see, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, that image of that essence that pleases you, the fragrance that pleases you of your Son, in that He always chooses the way of the cross. And when there's a death, there's resurrection. And we praise you that it's always Christ in this matter. And so that is the spirit that we want to give in this place, that we want to lift up Jesus in this way. And so as we come together, as we are learning this Jesus, may we encourage one another to run this race, to keep on keeping on, and to not hold back, not to stop, not to get frustrated, but to press on as Paul did. And we praise you for the abundance of your word, and for each other, and just for, of course, for Jesus. And so as we are dismissed, we just continue to pray for Randy, and for healing and rest and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.